sorry for all the family and staff members that I've made watch that video 1,000 times. So, went to the state fair the last Friday that it was going on. I guess it was the last Friday that it was being held. Went with the Barbie family. This was a unique experience for me because I was really the only male other than my son that went. And, well, we'll just get on to what happened. It's very, 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 very cold that night. And me and my son had to actually get up, start walking around and, like, you know, catch ourselves looking at the rides going, oh, gosh. You know, this looked a whole lot more attractive when I was a teenager. This is not what it's all about these days. Also, I don't know if you know this. If you haven't been to the fair in a long time, you can buy a corn dog about that tall, and you cannot eat it. I promise you. If you can, you've got superhuman strength. So, anyways, as we're walking around, you know, we're checking out the rides, doing all this kind of stuff. And my wife comes out, and she's like, hey, the concert's over, but the girls are getting to meet the band. Well, we went to go see For King and Country, and, of course, they have an awesome message. I mean, they have an awesome message towards, you know, girls' worth, a woman's worth, and all of that. So, anyways, they're already wrapped up in it. And they're going to get to meet them. So I'm kind of like, all right, well, how long is this going to take? A long time. A very long time. And not only that, when it was all over, here they all come. Oh, my gosh! I got to touch his mole! He touched my shoulder! And, you know, so I mean, it's just teenage drama stuff going all in. I'm like, oh, man, what in the world is going on? But then I got in the car, got going home, and I thought about their excitement and what they had just experienced and what they just went through. And it got me to thinking about when I first met Jesus. And I can tell you that my reaction in the convention center that day was much like theirs. I just met the one person, the one relationship in my life that would not fail. I met Jesus. I couldn't have been told fast enough about how much he loved me and how much he died on a cross for me. But then, as I started growing in my faith, I started to hear this word, discipleship or disciple. Well, I came to know Christ when I was 14 years old, so I didn't grow up in church. I didn't know what these terms meant. I didn't know what that word actually meant. I did know this, though, through studying the Bible, that the disciples were picked by Jesus himself, so they must have been the cream of the crop. They must have been perfection and then back it off just a little bit. But as I read on, I found out that that wasn't true. So we've got several scriptures to look at today. The first thing that I want to do is read a very, very familiar passage. Matthew 28, we're going to start 16 and go through 20. And if you'll stand for this reading of God's word, there's going to be several more that I'm not going to ask you to stand for, but I consider this to be pretty important scripture. All right, then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for coming here and leaving everything that you had to save us all. God, thank you so much for your Spirit. I've already felt your overwhelming presence in this place. I pray that you'll keep it going. Lord, just love on us and just honor the reading of your words. Take me away from the eyes of these people. Lord, speak through me. Use me how you see fit. In your holy name I pray. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So we read this. We call this the Great Commission. Of course, the video just showed the Great Commission. And like I said, I've kind of been playing that video a lot. So you can imagine that that tone or that tune has been going around the office quite a lot. But so let's take Jesus, God himself. God himself has now taken himself out of heaven, out of the perfection of heaven, decided to live here with us for 33 years, give his life on a cross for us, allow his body to be buried in a borrowed tomb, and then to raise himself up after 3 days. And the last thing that he said was, go and make more disciples. That was one of the last things that he said. So, I would imagine that there is some importance to this. So we'll pull up our second set of scripture, which comes out of Mark. It's going to be Mark 1:16-20. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. Without delay, he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. So pretty much they said, see you later, Dad. Got to go. Got to follow this guy. He just said it. All right, second verse of scripture here is Mark 2:13-14. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, a son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him, and Levi got up and followed him. Now, notice how easy it seemed through Scripture that it was for them to just get up and go. And remember, Levi is who we refer to as Matthew. All right, so it gets us to our first slide. A disciple is what? One who follows Jesus. That is the meaning of a disciple. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? Following Jesus means to go after him and to go with him. For a long time, I interpreted that scripture as we go after him, like we are the ones after him. No, it means go after Jesus. It means to pursue him with all of your heart. B, following Jesus is an ongoing, continual, lifelong journey. It never ends. Following Jesus is our life trajectory. It is our direction. It is our path. It is our mission. Following Jesus is a relationship that takes precedence over all other relationships. Matthew 10:37-38 says, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves his son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. So, what's a good sign that you're following Jesus? When you walk in such a way that other people are following Jesus. It's as simple as that. So what attributes are found in a disciple? A disciple, Jesus, denies self and takes up their cross daily. Now, we hear this a lot. What does it mean to deny self and to take up your cross? You hear the term, oh, that's just my cross I have to carry. That's not what Jesus says at all. It's not some burden that Jesus wants you to carry. That'd be taking away what he did on the cross for us. So taking up your cross is not some burden that Jesus wants you to carry around with you going, oh God, I got to carry Jesus around with me all day. I don't understand how I'm going to do this. We actually symbolize the cross. Now think about it. We hang the cross up. I mean, if you were to lift this screen, there would be a cross back there in the baptistry. We hang crosses in our house. We wear crosses as necklaces. We attribute a cross of a symbol of forgiveness, grace, and love. What do you think it meant in Jesus' day? Yeah, it meant death. And not only that, but death by the cruelest of means and standards. So, what does it... let me expand on that. You got to imagine that when you were crucified, they made you carry your cross to the place of crucifixion while people were making fun of you, spitting on you, throwing things at you. So it was a time of humiliation as well pain. So what does it mean for us to do it? It simply means, and this took about an hour for me to come up with this sentence, to be prepared for the ridicule and humiliation of crucifying our own special interest in order to follow the one who laid down his life for us. It's not some burden we bury, but we may not be the people that are looked at as going, hey, we want to hang out with them, or there may be something that Jesus is calling you to do where you can't be a part of this or you can't be a part of that. But what Jesus is saying is you have to be prepared to not be a part of those things sometimes in order to follow me. So where does that come out of? Luke 9:23 tells us, and he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. B. A disciple of Jesus is constantly in the Word. John 8:31-32 tells us, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will follow the truth, and the truth will set you free. C. A disciple of Jesus loves others. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. D, a disciple of Jesus obeys God. John 14:21 tells us, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. And then Ian, I'm sorry, my mouth is dry. Singing and dancing and all kind of stuff. So E, a disciple of Jesus, produces spiritual fruit. All right, examples of spiritual fruit. It's found in Galatians 5:22-23. Love, joy, peace, forbearance or patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then, of course, if you want to know where it tells you in Scripture about spiritual fruit will follow a disciple, John 15:1-8 says that, and that's a very lengthy Scripture, so I won't read that for you today, but you can write that down. John 15:1-8 is actually where Jesus tells you that spiritual fruit follows a disciple. So in Matthew 11:28-30, This is something that I talked to the college and young adult class about. It's also something I talked to the youth about. It talks about being yoked with Jesus. So this will kind of tell us, you know, it still, even through all of this, you could go through bullet points and still miss the point of how do we follow Jesus? How do you follow somebody that's perfect? How do you follow somebody that never sinned and every day we sin? So how do you follow this person? So it talks about Jesus' yoke being easy, his burden being light. Well, let's talk about what a yoke is first. It's not Y-O-L-K, yolk, the yellow part of an egg, which I thought it was for years. I know that may sound like it's funny, but when it said my yolk is easy, I kind of like my egg yolk's easy too. So I was like, right on, Jesus. I like my eggs that way too. Actually, the yolk here, you don't hear that term a lot. It's a yolk. It's the wooden harness that goes over an oxen or a bull in order for the oxen or bull to pull a plow in a field. Now, hold on. Jesus says his yoke is easy. Plowing a field is back-breaking work. How is that possible? Well, let's look at how a young oxen is trained. They yoke a young oxen up with a large mature oxen that's done it several times. Many times, plowed the same field over and over and over again. So you put the yoke on the young oxen as the mature oxen plows the field. Well, it's not the job of the learning oxen to pull the weight of the plow. It's the job of the mature oxen to pull the weight. It is the job of the young oxen to simply follow. So let's think of Jesus as our trainer. If he's training us to go through this life and follow him, he's not asking us to pull the weight. He's simply asking us to follow. So with that being said, why is it hard? Well, if there's one thing that we know about Jesus, he's never failing. He always goes in the same direction. He's constantly after one thing, which is pleasing the Father. So why is it hard on us sometimes? Well, I can guarantee you, if you're pulling against Jesus in the opposite direction, it's probably going to get a little rough. So if you find yourself having a hard time pulling the plow, or even having a hard time following the person that's pulling the plow, let's take a look at ourselves instead of taking a look at him going, why are you doing this to me? Why don't we take a look at ourselves and say, why am I doing this to me? Paul tells us in Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. What does that mean? That means even after all of this is said and done, after we live this life here, even after death, all there is more life for a believer. So all he wants us to do is follow him and bring more to him that will follow him. It seems like an overwhelming task some days. I know it does for me. And I guess the last thing that I'd want to say is just, you know, this isn't about us. It's about him. And sometimes we get caught up in looking at ourselves too much. God just wants us to strap on his yoke and to follow. That's all he wants. So as we go and make more disciples, let's get in the community more. Let's engage people where they are, because I can guarantee you a lost person's not driving down that road going, oh, I need to get in that church. They're just not doing it. If we don't show love to those in our job, in our workplace, in our community, to the homeless, to the people in need, then we're missing what Jesus told us to do. He wants us to meet those people where they are. He wants us to meet their needs and it to be in His name. So, let's just give all to the one that gave all to us. God,